loan officers. Join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.
All right, so welcome everyone. My name is Kyle Hershey. I'm the COO of the Mortgage Calculator, joined here by our president, Nick Hershey. And this is our loan officer training series that we do every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. We are a non-QM lender. And what we do on these episodes is go through a different training topic each time. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how to calculate self-employed income from rental properties, right? Rental income. So Nick is going to go ahead and do a breakdown for us. So Nick, if you're ready, let's go ahead and talk about REO rental income.
All right. So we've done this topic quite a few times. So we tried to do a little bit of a different approach on this one. Go ahead and share my screen here. And basically, as Kyle mentioned, we're going to be talking about real estate owned. That's what REO stands for, rental income. So this would be non-subject rental properties. Let me get that other graphic out of here. So non-subject rental properties I'm going to focus on here. We could obviously do all kinds of different ways to do the income, but we'll simplify it because this is for our investors here. So let me go ahead and break it down a little bit. So just like yesterday, there's different methods of calculation. We have our conventional Fannie and Freddie, which we typically want to look at in order to compare our non-QM. So Fannie has the link there. I'll put that in the follow-up for our team members as well as in the description there. And Freddie Mac as well. It's just in the selling guide under rental income. Pretty simple. And then non-QM, you're going to have to read the guidelines. All of our D plus different outlets all vary in their non-QM guidelines, but they generally follow Fannie Mae. So let's look at some actual examples so we can compare Fannie to Freddie and then, of course, be able to then compare to non-QM. So first off, in general for Fannie, just a couple things to go over. No primary home one unit or second home income, so you can't use border income. There are some exceptions for ADUs, but not as applicable. You have to read through all the guidelines, of course. And in general, for non-subject, which is what we're talking about today, for the most part, rental income is going to come from their 1040 on their Schedule E or from a partnership or S-Corp on their 8825 attached to their tax return, still listed through their Schedule E typically, but you're still going to need the returns of the partnership, which will have the 8825. For a subject property that we're purchasing, if we're purchasing a new rental property, we're going to need the rental income for one unit from the 1007, the one unit rental income report, or if it's 2 to 4 units, we'll use the 1025 rental income. So pretty simple there, just for some simple outlines. Obviously, there's many pages of the guides. We've gone through that on a couple other episodes as well. Please familiarize yourself with the full guide. But these are some of the general things that set them apart. Now, Fannie Mae calculations, once you determine that we have income we can use, which is obviously rental properties, we're going to use this rental income worksheet. You can go to fanniemae.com, the same chapter I linked there. You can get this worksheet. It is not something specific that you would need to get. This is from directly from Fannie Mae. You're going to enter this data. So it's going to be, notice it's kind of hard to see here. You're either going to fill out step 2A, which is this darker blue, or step 2B, which is this lighter blue. And what that corresponds to over here, I tried to break it down, is you're either going to use the lease or gross market rents, and or you're going to use the income calculator. So 2A is the income calculator where we actually calculate it. 2B is where we use the lease or the gross market rents from the 1007 or 1025. So when we do the 1038 income calculator, it's pretty much the same as any other income calculator. We're going to start with our rents received, which is line 3 of our tax return. We're going to take off the expenses, which is line 20. We're going to add back the things that are already going to be accounted for in our mortgage payment. So insurance, mortgage interest, taxes, HOA dues, if they're listed separately. Depreciation is obviously a fake number, right? That's something that accountants make up to try to account for certain expenses, but it's not a real expense that we had to pay out of pocket. So we're going to add that back. And then one-time losses, if we can document them, we can add those back. Not as common, but it's obviously still a line here in the form. So we'll fill that out. Then we're going to divide it by the number of months in service, and that's going to give us our basic rental income. And then we apply that against our mortgage payment, PITIA, which is going to offset all these things that we added back and determine our net rental income. So we won't do the actual calculation because this is going to focus on non-QM, but that's how we get to our Fannie Mae calculations. We've had a few different episodes on that. Please check those or just go to the Fannie Mae guidelines. Now, Freddie Mac. So very similar, but Freddie Mac does allow some primary home and even sometimes second home income from border income, specifically ADUs. They're very lenient on ADUs. So Freddie Mac, you can use border income as long as it's an ADU typically, or some other ins and outs there. Make sure you read the guidelines. And same thing as all the standard conventional, we're going to use rental income off of Schedule E or rental income from an 8825. And if it's a subject property, same thing, we're going to use a 1007 if it's one unit or 1025 if it's 2 to 4 units and use that rental income market rent estimate there. The calculator looks a little bit different. It's called a Form 92. This is what it looks like from one of our favorite vendors. It has a nice little calculator you can use. This one allows you to put 2 years of the same property and do the 2-year average, which is typically what we're going to do. You don't always get 1-year findings with Freddie Mac. A lot of times you do, but not always. So you fill this out. Again, it's the same exact calculation. The way they do some things is different, but this is pretty much identical across the board, right? So Jose has done a few presentations on the way they treat like partnership income, K-1 income differently. But for this, they're the same calculation, right? We're going to have our rents, less expenses, and then we're going to add back our items that are already accounted for, insurance, mortgage interest, taxes. Appreciation is a fake number, right? So we're going to add that back since it's just an accounting number. And then HOA, because it's already going to be accounted for on our 1003. And then if we can explain any one-time losses, we can add those back, but it's very uncommon. So again, we're going to get to the same number. Typically for Fannie or Freddie, there's really not going to be a difference there on rental income. There is some other differences in other ways. And as I mentioned before, like ADU income may be usable with one versus the other. But in general, their calculations are the same. Now let's get into the subject matter of today, non-QM REO income. So calculations are going to vary. And in general, as I mentioned before, we're going to follow Fannie, which in turn follows Freddie, right? Because they're both using rental income in general the same in this case. So full doc is where we use tax returns. There's typically 1-year full doc or 2-year full doc options. When we go non-QM, we get to choose 1 or 2 years. Whereas with Fannie and Freddie, we have to use the findings to determine if it's 1 or 2 years that we're going to have to attach to our loan documents, right? So thankfully with non-QM, we can choose 1 or 2 years, but in general, we're going to calculate with Fannie or Freddie. Full doc, tax returns, right? Schedule E, 8825, I mentioned before. But alt doc, alt income, uses leases only, or of course appraisals only, if that's what we're going to use. So very different, and we'll explain that when we calculate it here. So first, there is a ton of different ways. Remember, these all vary slightly. This is just one option, one set of guidelines. They may all vary slightly. But in general, this is going to apply pretty much across the board. That's why I'm just going to compare full doc in general compared to alt doc in general. There's obviously little ins and outs on all the guidelines. But in general, let's look at a non-QM full doc example here. It's going to typically follow Fannie Mae, use the Fannie Mae calculators. Most investors will use that. So we're going to use the typical Fannie Mae calc here. So in our example here, I'm going to use the same example and compare across the programs. So $50,000 in gross rents. And then from our Schedule E on our tax return, it says that we made $50,000 this year. Let's say we're doing 1 year, right? We're just doing 1 year analysis here. So 1 year is what we're going to choose for our program. We're going to do 1 year analysis. We made $50,000 in 1 year. We had $20,000 in expenses. But then we're going to add back our insurance, interest, taxes, and our depreciation to get to our adjusted income. So you see here, hopefully you can see my mouse. This $42,500 figure is what we get when we go off the tax return. We're going to divide that by 12 months. that it was in service for this tax return. And we're going to get $3,541 and change for our monthly rental income. Now, in our hypothetical example here, we're going to say our mortgage payment, PITIA, our full mortgage expenses that we put on our 1003, you know, from our credit report, is, let's say, $3,000. So our mortgage payment with escrows and everything is $3,000. We're claiming on our taxes, when we add back our depreciation and all of our non-cash things, that we make $3,500. That means our net qualifying income that we're going to be able to use or loss. Many times our investors actually come up with a loss if they have various expenses claimed on their tax returns. But in this case, we're going to have $541.67 of income we can use on our 1003 because we've offset our mortgage payment that we've attached on our 1003, and we have an additional surplus there. And in some cases, we'll have a loss, but in this example, a surplus. So that's all great. We've improved our DTI in this example because we're talking about DTI-based loans still here. But now you'll see how it varies and changes and how much advantage we have when we go to an alt doc. So full doc is obviously going to be cheaper typically because we're seeing tax returns. We're seeing what we've provided to the government. We're verifying, yes, these items do exist. We've submitted them to the government. The government's confirmed that these are our W-2s, all that stuff, right? So a lot of verification when we're able to see tax returns and see that they're filed and verify with the government that they're filed. So these are always cheaper, right? Now, when we go to non-QM alt doc, we're not going to see any tax returns. So they're typically more expensive, but you'll see how much more flexible we get with our guidelines here. So same exact scenario, but if we're going non-QM alt doc for this investor, we're simply going to use the gross rents from the lease, or they're going to get a appraisal with a 1007 or 1025 there and show us the estimated market rents. So in this case, in our hypothetical example, same exact example, the investor said they had claimed $50,000 in gross rents. So same exact number. So if we receive $50,000 in gross rents, guess what we get to use for our income? $50,000 in gross rents. So now we divide $50,000 divided by 12, which equals $4,166 in our monthly rental income. Same hypothetical example, we have $3,000 in expenses on our mortgage there to offset. But now the same exact scenario, just with a different loan program, even the same outlet, now our 1003 shows $1,166 in income that we add to our 1003 to offset our DTI. So again, full doc, we went with taxes, what they claimed. They still made money. Great. Everybody's happy. They made $541. But if we need more income for our 1003, we need to go with an alt doc example typically because it's going to afford us a much easier example, right? It's just a lease. We just one document. Here's the lease. A lot easier than tax returns and all these calculations. Take the lease, divide it by the months, and you take away the expenses, the mortgage payment. So very easy calculation, very simplified. And as you can see here, very often equals a much higher income. So that's one reason why these loans are a little bit more expensive, but you see the flexibility that we get. In this example, if they only own one property, that's a pretty big swing of almost over double the income, right, that they're getting from their rental income that we're adding to their 1003 for their DTI. So that's how that works. I could go on for days and do, you know, 50 different examples of full doc and 50 different examples of alt doc, but they'd all end up pretty much the same, where you would see that full doc requires more documents, requires more proof, requires more evidence, and typically results in a smaller number. And then you see the more expensive, typically non-QM alt doc programs will afford a larger number and a little bit more flexibility. So go ahead and switch my screen here, and we'll pull up any questions that we have.
I don't see any questions here. All right. Okay, so I guess we'll wrap it up then. Appreciate that, Nick. Good presentation there. And remember, we do this at 7 p.m. Eastern time every Tuesday and Wednesday evening. So we appreciate everybody tuning in, and we will see you next week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the next episode of the Loan Officer Training Series with the Mortgage Calculator. Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Loan officers, join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.